When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
Some hauntings don't begin with a scream. Some begin with a whisper. For him, the whispers were never frightening. They were company. He'd lived with them for as long as he could remember. Voices that weren't his own, brushing against his thoughts like fingertips on glass. At first, they'd murmured in fragments, half-formed phrases that drifted in and out of the spaces between waking and sleep. Then, as he grew older, they became distinct, clear. They spoke to him as naturally as friends might. He never questioned it much. The way he saw it, these voices had always been there. Invisible companions, unseen tutors, protectors that moved through the air around him. If anything, he felt lucky. They weren't cruel or mocking, not the way people describe voices in their heads when things go wrong. These voices were kind, encouraging. They helped him. They taught him. And sometimes, they saved him. He was a child the first time he realized they knew things he didn't. He was sitting in class, staring down at an exam he hadn't studied for. Panic clawed at the edges of his mind, that kind of childlike dread that feels like the end of the world. And then quietly, a voice whispered the answer. Not just one answer, but all of them. He'd blinked, confused, looked around, and no one was near him. But the words kept coming, calm and confident. He wrote them down, every single one. When the paper came back, he'd scored perfectly. It didn't stop there. The older he got, the more the voices seemed to know. They guided him through university, through every exam, every essay, every sleepless night. They whispered encouragement when he was exhausted, fed him knowledge he'd never read, and filled him with a strange certainty that he wasn't alone. That someone, somewhere, wanted him to succeed. I'm blessed, he used to say, half joking, half not. I've got a dozen ghosts with degrees whispering in my ear. And he wasn't wrong. By the time he'd earned 2 university degrees and started on his doctorate, he'd come to know them like old friends. He could tell them apart. The deep voice that spoke with a kind of old-world authority. The gentle one that always began with, "Listen carefully." The one that laughed when he made a mistake and then told him how to fix it. He'd counted 12 in all, each one distinct. Some visited more often than others. A few dropped in, as he called it, from time to time, but they were always there. Always listening, always teaching. He wasn't afraid of them. How could he be? They'd never given him reason to fear. There were moments when they went beyond advice, moments when they crossed into something else, something protective. He remembered it clearly. He'd been at the beach with friends, sunburnt and hungry, when one of them announced a snack run into town. "Come on," his friend said. "You're coming with." He almost said yes. He'd stood brushing sand off his shorts when suddenly the whispers changed. They weren't gentle anymore. They were screaming, not in pain, but in warning, urgent, terrified, "Don't go, don't get in that car." The voices flooded his head until he felt sick. It was like they were shaking him from the inside out. So, against every bit of logic, he stayed. Hours later, the police came. His friend's car had veered off the road and hit a barrier. He didn't make it. After that, he never doubted the voices again. By his 20s, they'd woven themselves into his daily life so completely that he couldn't imagine being without them. They told him what people really thought, what they were too polite or too strategic to say aloud. When he walked into a meeting, they'd murmur quietly in his ear, subtle hints, warnings, emotional cues. "He's lying. She's afraid. This isn't about what they said, it's about." It made him good at his job, exceptional even. He became a human resources manager, a position built on reading people, navigating emotion, seeing through the masks others wear. To his colleagues, he was intuitive, perceptive, almost unnervingly accurate to him. It was simple. He wasn't alone in the room. Someone was always whispering the truth. Sometimes he'd feel a hand on his shoulder, not heavy but steady, grounding him. Sometimes, too, he'd close his eyes and breathe through the hum of voices that filled the space around him, and for a moment, he'd feel pure peace. He called them his team. He never saw them clearly, but he caught glimpses, flashes in the corner of his eye, motion that didn't belong, a faint shimmer in the air like heat rising off asphalt. And when they touched him, a brush across his back, a palm between his shoulder blades. It wasn't cold, like the ghost story said it would be. It was warm, familiar, human. And they'd never given him names, but he swore he could tell who was speaking by the touch, by the rhythm of their speech, by the way they laughed or sighed or fell silent. He could talk to them directly when he wanted, ask questions, float ideas. Sometimes they debated with him. Sometimes they told him things he didn't want to hear. But it was never cruel. Always patient. Always calm. He wasn't sure if they were spirits, ancestors, something else entirely. Only that they were real. And they were old. He learned that by accident. One day during a lecture, he'd been quoting a passage for a class presentation, something that had come to him naturally, like all the others, when his professor stopped him mid-sentence. "Where did you learn Middle French?" the man asked. He blinked. "I didn't." The class laughed, thinking he was being modest, but the professor wasn't laughing. "That was perfect," he said. "Fluent. I've never heard a student pronounce it so precisely." And he hadn't even known that's what he'd been speaking. Later, another colleague noticed the same thing with his Latin vocabulary that hadn't been used in centuries. Structures that were medieval, not modern. He didn't study those languages. He didn't have to. The voices whispered them for him. By then, he'd stopped wondering what they were and started accepting what they gave. Knowledge, comfort, protection, and love. That was what they made him feel most of all. Loved. Completely. Without condition. When he lay awake at night, they were there. When he felt lonely, they'd fill the silence with soft words. "You are never alone." When life grew heavy, they lifted him. He couldn't imagine the world without them. because in every sense that mattered, they were his family. He never thought of them as ghosts. The word felt too small, too human, too temporary. Ghosts were echoes, unfinished fragments that faded with time. These presences, they were constant living, thinking, evolving. They were companions, and they seemed to learn. That was what fascinated him most. They weren't static, like a recording that played the same message over and over. They adapted. They grew alongside him, changed tone, even corrected themselves if he caught them in a mistake. They read what he read, knew what he knew, somehow what he didn't. He'd wake in the morning to find one of them murmuring legal updates, new workplace policies, things he hadn't yet encountered, but would need to know for his next meeting. When a new law was passed or a case hit the news, they'd summarize it quietly before he even opened his laptop. It was like having a dozen invisible researchers living in his mind. And they weren't just feeding him information. They were guiding his choices. He realized that during the worst chapter of his life, when doing the right thing and doing the true thing were pulling him in opposite directions. He'd gotten his girlfriend pregnant. They were young, unprepared, terrified. Marriage seemed like the only path forwards, the honorable one, the one that would make sense to everyone else. The voices told him it was right. They didn't scream or command. They simply pressed the idea into him like a hand against his back. This is what must be done. And so he did it. He married her. He stayed. Years passed, and the life he built around that single decision began to rot quietly from within. He wasn't unhappy exactly, just dulled number. The love that had once flickered between them turned to obligation. An obligation turned to silence. Still, he endured. Because that's what the voices told him to do. Until one day they changed. 5 years into the marriage, the whispers that had once guided him so faithfully came with something new in their tone. Not command, not encouragement, but release. "You've done your part," one said. "You were good, you were honorable, but now it's time to go." He wept when he heard it. Not because he was afraid to leave, but because it felt like permission from something greater than conscience. Like the universe itself was exhaling through him. And so, with that same eerie calm that had carried him through exams, jobs, and heartbreak, he walked away from the life he'd built. He was alone for a while after that, or at least he was supposed to be. But of course, he never really was. They spoke to him even in the silence, those soft, layered voices that felt like 12 distinct currents running beneath one steady river. And then came the dream. He was walking through a campus courtyard, books under his arm, when he saw her. The girl he'd loved years before. The one he'd never thought he'd see again. He woke the next morning with the dream still vivid, her voice still echoing in his ears. Later that same week, she appeared in his real life. She'd transferred to his university, enrolled in a class he happened to be lecturing in. When he saw her, the voices surged all at once. "She's the one you dreamed of. She's what you waited for." He felt like every decision, every nudge, every whisper that had led him to this exact moment had been part of a design he couldn't comprehend. He didn't question it. He didn't have to. But it wasn't just about love or loss or timing anymore. The voices seemed to care about more than his life. They cared about his development. He could feel them learning alongside him, analyzing the modern world through his eyes. They absorbed everything he absorbed, the rise of new technology, new political landscapes, cultural shifts, global events. He'd mention something in passing, and they'd answer like scholars. Once, while reading an article about artificial intelligence, he whispered, "Does this threaten you?" A dozen replies whispered back, overlapping, harmonious yet distinct. "We learn as you learn. You think we fade, but we adapt. We are not bound to one age." He laughed, unnerved but comforted. Sometimes he wondered if they were spirits of the dead who'd found a way to live through the minds of the living. Like old souls updating their libraries through human experience. Other times, he thought, maybe they were pieces of him, fragments of memory and intuition that had learned to speak. It didn't matter which was true, the effect was the same. He was never alone. His aunt, the one who called herself a medium, had always told him he was open, that something about his energy made him a conduit, a kind of lighthouse for wandering souls. But when she met him for coffee one afternoon and listened to his stories, she frowned. "It's not just one thing," she said quietly. "It's organized, structured." "What do you mean?" "They're working together like a choir." He remembered that word, choir. It stuck with him, because that was exactly how it felt. And when he heard them all at once, their voices didn't clash. They harmonized. 12 distinct notes that built something bigger, something he couldn't fully perceive. And every now and then, when they spoke together, truly together, he'd feel something in his chest that was beyond language. Not a message, not even a feeling, just presence, like standing in the center of a cathedral when all the bells ring at once. He'd started trying to name them just to make sense of it. But each time he asked, the answers came back evasive. "Names are for the living," one said. "We are not a what or a who," another murmured. "We are continuity." Still, there were patterns. When he heard the low, formal voice that quoted in Middle French, he felt an older presence. Wise, protective, almost paternal. When the light, playful one teased him, it felt young, quick, curious. Sometimes when he felt a hand on his shoulder, he could tell who it was before the whisper came. He didn't question how. He just knew, and once they vanished. It was only for a short time, but it left a hole so deep it nearly drove him mad. He and his family had taken a trip to England, to Tintagel, the ancient cliffs where legend says King Arthur was born. The moment they stepped into the ruins, the voices went silent. All 12. No whispers, no touches, no gentle guidance in the back of his mind. Just absence. He panicked at first, whispering to the empty air, begging for them to answer. Then, faintly, just before they disappeared entirely, one of them spoke. "We cannot follow you there. But it will be all right. We'll be waiting." And then they were gone. He hadn't realized how much they'd filled him until he lost them. The world felt hollow. He could almost feel his own thoughts echoing back at him. No advice, no encouragement, just silence and the sound of his own heartbeat. When they finally returned, but suddenly as they'd vanished, he cried. Not because he was afraid of being haunted again, but because he realized that somewhere along the line, the haunting had become home. For years, he'd lived with them, worked with them, succeeded with them, but it wasn't until he turned 30 that a new kind of question lodged itself in his mind. What if they weren't just helping him? What if they had been shaping him? It began quietly, the way most unsettling truths do. Small moments, little realizations that drifted into place like dust motes catching the light. He was sitting in a boardroom one afternoon listening to a panel debate a proposal. The discussion was going nowhere. Corporate egos grinding gears in the same tired argument. He leaned back in his chair, fingers brushing his chin, and one of the voices whispered, "Say the numbers on page 12. Point out the mistake in the margin. You'll change the room." And he did. And they were right. His single comment shifted the tone of the meeting, redirected the outcome, and earned him a level of respect he hadn't even intended to seek. Afterward, he sat alone in his office, staring at the window, and because he realized something and he didn't remember reading page 12, not once. And that wasn't the first time a whisper had nudged him toward the exact phrase, the perfect argument, the right ally. They hadn't just helped him respond to the world, they'd helped him shape it. It thrilled him and terrified him. Because if they were guiding him toward the right choices, he says, who said the choices were his? One night he tried to confront them. He lay in bed with the lights off, staring at the ceiling, feeling the familiar hum of their presence gathering just behind him, like figures in a long hall waiting to be acknowledged. "Tell me what you are," he whispered. His voice sounded small in the dark. A dozen threads answered at once, soft and overlapping. We are with you. We are part of you. We are what you needed. That isn't an answer, he whispered. Silence pressed in. Then finally, a single voice stepped forward, older, heavier, weighted with something ancient that made his bones vibrate. You would not understand the answer. He felt a chill crawl up his spine. Try me. A long pause, the kind that makes time feel like it's leaning closer. Then, you were chosen, long before you were born. We are continuity. We walk with a line, not a person. You are one link in a chain that stretches farther than memory. He sat up slowly, breath unsteady. A chain of what? The reply came like a breath on his neck. Witnesses. He didn't speak for a long time. He didn't even breathe. The room felt both too small and impossibly vast, as if he'd stumbled into a doorway where meaning thinned into something cosmic. What am I witnessing? He whispered. The dozen voices shifted behind him, harmonizing into one low vibration that made the air tremble. What unfolds? And then they were quiet. Not gone, just waiting. As if they'd said all they were willing to say. Days passed before he worked up the nerve to ask them more. Because once you start questioning something that's guided you your whole life, you can't unask the questions. He noticed patterns, moments he'd chalked up to intuition but now saw differently. The time he'd avoided a multi-car pileup because a whisper urged him to take a different route. The time he broke off a business partnership moments before a scandal erupted. The time he found an opportunity simply by walking into a room he felt nudged toward, and he'd always felt lucky, prepared. Now he wondered if he'd ever truly been steering. His girlfriend asked him once, half asleep, why he always looked to the corner before leaving a room. He didn't realize he did it, but he did, because that's where the presence stood, quiet, watching. Not threatening, but observant in a way that felt both protective and unsettling. Sometimes when he caught the blur in his peripheral vision, there was a sense of purpose radiating from it. Not affection, not malice, purpose. He tried ignoring them once just to see what would happen. For 24 hours, he refused to answer the whispers, refused to follow the nudges. He made choices purely out of stubbornness. Took wrong turns, avoided opportunities, shut down the guiding instincts he'd relied on since childhood. By noon, he'd bruised his knee, broken a glass, missed a deadline, and nearly rear-ended a truck. By evening, the silence in his mind felt deafening, like 12 figures standing with their backs to him. It felt like being abandoned. He apologized out loud, and the warmth returned instantly. He cried. Not because he was afraid, but because he realized just how profoundly they'd woven themselves into the architecture of his life. One morning, he woke to find the air thick with presence, humming like a chord struck all at once. He sat up, breath shaking. What's happening? A voice. The one he associated with steadiness, with the quiet strength that got him through exams and heartbreak and years of confusion, answered, change. What kind of change? But the others began whispering over it, dozens of tones weaving into something like a song. Growth, awakening, alignment, crossing, becoming. He didn't understand any of it, but he felt it. Something in him was shifting, awakening, merging. And for the first time in his life, the fear he felt wasn't about them, but about what he might be without them. That night, as he sat by the window, he whispered, I don't understand you, but I'm not afraid of you, not anymore. The presences stirred, just all 12, then settled around him like a mantle. We know. Are you spirits? He asked quietly. Guides? Something divine? A long pause, and then a whisper that brushed the inside of his skull like a fingertip. We are what you become when you stop believing you're alone. He froze, breath trapped in his chest. What does that mean? But the voices only faded, soft as smoke. No answers, just the lingering hum of something vast, ancient, and intimately entwined with him, as if they'd always been there, waiting for him to finally ask the right questions. And as he sat in the darkness, one last whisper threaded through the room, quiet enough to feel rather than hear. We never leave our own. He closed his eyes. For the first time, the presence didn't feel like something haunting him. It felt like something claiming him.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.